We continue today with lesson number 83 in our ongoing study of Mishnayos Maseches Kelim. We are in the 20th Perek, the 4th and 5th Mishnayos, Perek Chof, Mishneh Dalet, and Mishneh He. Mishneh Dalet. Areva Gedoilo. If one has a large tub, and this tub, when we say gedola, that means it is larger than the range we learned about in the Mishnah yesterday. You will remember that in the Mishnah yesterday, Mishnah Beis, we learned it about a reva from the size of shnei log v'atisha kabin. And the reva gedola is even larger than tisha kabin. It's a big tub, which is used for whatever it's used for. It's used basically for food, for preparations of large quantities of food, etc. But now, there's a big hole in it, so that you can't even hold pomegranates, a large fruit in it, because it'll fall through the hole. So what are you going to do with this tub with a hole in it? It can't be used for its old purpose, which was as a clay kibul, as something in which you put apples, bananas, or whatever. Now the apples, the bananas, or whatever will fall through the hole. So you decide, look, I can't use it as a tub anymore, so I'll use it as a chair. And I'll have my guests sit on it. So the hiskino li yeshiva. And you fixed it in such a way that now the areva has a little groove in it where a person can sit down relatively comfortably. So now does it become roy for tumas medrash, because it is now a chair? Rabbi Akiva says yes. Rabbi Akiva metame, that it is metame tumas medrash. It's now a chair. V'chachomim metarim. The chachom say no. Just by making a little seat in it, that's not enough. Doesn't take it and change it from a tub to a chair. Ad sheyekatseya, until you trim it in such a way, you saw off the jagged edges of it or whatever, in such a way that now it's really a chair. Then it's mekabel tumah. But otherwise, just turn it upside down and then clean it up a little bit. That's not going to be sufficient to change it from a tub to a chair. Continuing in Mishneh Dalet, Aso evus labehema. All right, you have this tub, a big tub. It's got a big hole in it. It can't even contain rimonim, pomegranates. So you decide you're going to use it as a trough, T-R-O-U-G-H, for your animal. Because you can take this tub and stuff into it feed, straw, hay, whatever, which it doesn't make a difference if there's a hole in the bottom, a little falls out, not going to bother you or the animal. And the animal, the donkey, the camel, whatever, can eat from it. So now I saw avos lebehema. If now you made it into an avos, a trough for the animal to eat from, afal pi shekevo bakosel, even if you take this tub, this which is now an avos, a trough, and you affix it, you bang it in with nails into a wall, it's still tameya. Normally, if something is part of a wall, part of a structure, part of a binyan, it is not mekabel tumah. But this avos is mekabel tumah, even if it's banged into the wall. So you banged it into a wall. But it's still, the animal, the donkey, can still come walking over to the avos, bend his head over, and eat from it, even though it's connected to a wall. So it still retains its function as a clay kibul. It contains hay or straw. The only time we say that a vessel which is connected to a wall is not mekabel tumah is if the vessel was connected to the wall from the time the vessel was constructed. The vessel was built into the wall. But if you have a loose vessel like this avos is, and you connect it to a pre-existing wall, and it still can function as an avos, because the animal can still eat from it, it is still mekabel tumah. But the tumah that's mekabel here, of course, is tumas meis or tumas sheretz. No way is this avos mekabel tumas medras. One thing's for sure, this avos is not a chair. It's a trough, It's a clay kibbul, so it's mekabel other tumas, lesser tumas, but not tumas medras. Continuing with Mishnah Hay, kofes. Kofes is a large, thick chunk of wood into which you carved out, scooped out a place for someone to sit. So it's a big block of wood, and there's a chair there. It built into it. It's carved out in such a way that someone can sit there. But now, with this kofes, shekivo'o banidboch. Nidboch is a row of a binyan. So you have a binyan, a structure. So what is a structure? You build it out of bricks. You have one row of bricks in the bottom. On top of that, another row of bricks. On top of that, another row of bricks. Here and there between the bricks, you put in a block of wood or metal or whatever. But it's part of the nidbach. It's part of the rows which constitute a binyan. So it depends. Kiva over lo bona olav, if he connected this kofes to the wall, but didn't build on top of this kofes, or bona olav, he built on top of this kofes. He put the kofes down, and on top of it, he built, he put the stones and the bricks that are the wall of this structure. It's interesting that in the pictures in the booklet that accompanies Maseches Kelim, done so well by Rav Posen of England, he points out that in ancient times, and probably in contemporary times as well, if you want to build a wall and have in it a doorway, let's say, in a certain shape, you want to have an arch doorway. Well, how can you form an arch out of stones, etc., etc.? So what you do is you build in a wooden insert into the wall, and you build and the wooden insert is shaped like an arc on its top, and then on top of it you put the bricks and whatnot. At a certain point, when the bricks are firmly in place, you can remove the wooden block, and the arc stands as is. So the arch stands as is. So now, if you took this kofes block of wood with a chair engraved in it, and you attached it to a wall, but you didn't build the wall over and above on top of it, or the opposite, bana olav, you did put bricks and stones, etc., on top of this kofes, but you didn't affix in a permanent way this kofes into the wall. And what you're waiting for is that after the cement, etc., dries, you're going to pull out this kofes and you'll have a doorway where the kofes was or something along those lines. Then, tome, if the zav sits upon this kofes when it is affixed but there's no building on top of it, or he sits on the building on top of it when there's building on top of it, but it's not affixed, then the kofes is tome tumas medras. Because in either of these situations, kavo velo bon olav, or bon olav velo kavo, the kofes is not part of the wall. And therefore, it is a movable, removable object, and it is makabel tumas medras because it has this chair grooved or engraved into it. But kevo'o ubana olav, if he attached it firmly with kevios to the wall, and in addition he built the stones and bricks, etc., above this kofes, then tohor, then it is not mekabel tumas medris if somehow the zav sits on it. Why? Because it's part of a structure. It's part of the wall. Part of a wall. A wall is not mekabel tumah. A wall is mechubar. Next case is the case of a mapetz. A mapetz is a mat made of bark or woven strands of wood, or even woven boards, thin boards of wood, which are woven together so that you have this mat which is designed for people to recline on. It's kind of a place to sleep on or to rest on. So a mappetz in itself is a classic example of something which is Tamei Tumas Midras. It is a moshav, it is something, or a mishkav, it's something which you sit on or lie upon, recline upon. So now you take this mappetz and you put it as a roof of your room. You're building a room, a new house, and you have the walls, and across the top of the walls you put beams, let's say 3 feet apart, long beams. And then over those beams, you put this mapetz, and now you have like a sukkah. Mapetz in isono al gabe hakodos. So, it depends. If kivo'o velo nosan ola vesamazeva, you took this mapetz and you banged it into the koros. So now it's there, bekivios, it's tightly affixed, this mapetz, to the top. It's now an interesting ceiling. But lo nosan olo vesa ma'azevo. What's ma'azevo? The way that they used to make ceilings in those times, and you can still see this done today, is after they put these koros, these thick, heavy beams, across the top of the room, from left to right, let's say, but 3 or 4 feet apart, so they took narrow planks of wood and lay them upon the koros, filling up all those spaces. And then in addition, they smeared on top of these planks of wood, tit, plaster. So you have koros, on top of the koros, planks of wood, and on top of the planks of wood, plaster. The planks of wood plus the plaster, that's the ma'azeva. That's the real essence of the ceiling. So if he just put a mapetz on the koros, on the cross beams, but did not put the ma'azeva, the small strips of wood, and the tit, or nosan alavesa ma'azeva. He put the mapetz across the beams, but he didn't nail them onto the beams, but rather he put upon them, upon the mapetz, he put the ma'azeva, the small narrow strips of wood, and the tit, and the plaster, velo kivao, but he didn't actually nail in the mapetz to the koros. So in these situations, Tomei, the mapetz is still a mapetz. And since it's still a mapetz, it was made for Shechiva, it was made for someone to lie upon, to sleep upon. So even though now it's up there in the ceiling, but it's easily removed, relatively easily removed from the ceiling, and it remains a kli Shechiva, it remains a mat upon which to recline. And it's therefore Mekabel Tumas Medras. But Kivo'o v'nosan ola v'sa ma'azeva, if he did both, he nailed the mat into the koros. So the mat is now tightly attached. And then besides that, he put upon the mat the ma'azeva, the strips of wood and the plaster. Now this mat is not going to be used again for shchiva. This mat is now a part of the ceiling. Tor, if it's part of the ceiling, it's not mekabel tuma. Tumas medras. Not mekabel any tumah. It's part of the ceiling. It's part of a binyan. It's mechubar. Finally, the Mishnah gives another case. Ka'ora, you have a dish, a bowl, a soup bowl, whatever. Shekevo'o b'shido tevo migdol. You have a big box or trunk or closet. And we're talking here of a trunk or a box or a closet which is Bob Amida, which is very large enough to contain 40 sa'ah balach. So it's not a movable box. It's a box that's firmly in place, and therefore the box, closet, etc., trunk, is not mekabel tumah because it's so large. So in the box, in the bottom of the box, you take a bowl, and you nail the bowl into the bottom of the box. So now you can put things in the bowl, in the box. So ka'ora shekivu'o b'shido tevo migdol. So if it's kederech kabalosa, if you banged in this bowl in the bottom of the box, right side up with the bottom down, so the opening in the bowl, the top of the bowl is wide open, and so you can still use it. You can put whatever you want to put into that bowl in the box. So it's still a bowl. It's still a clay kibul, even though it's attached to the box, tameya. It is mekabel tumah. Not mekabel tumah tumas medras, but of course it's mekabel tumah from before. It's a bowl, and as a bowl is mekabel tumas mes, tumas sheretz, etc. It has a clay kibul. It has a base kibul. But suppose Shaloka Derech Kabbalosa, he banged this bowl into the Shita Teva Omigdal upside down. So now it has no function. You can't. It's not. It has a base kibble physically underneath, but there's no way you can get to it. So therefore, tahora, it's not mekabel tumah because its original purpose as a bowl to contain soup or to contain Cheerios or whatever is no longer there, and it was bottled from its original shimush, and therefore it is no longer mekabel tumah. It becomes botel to the Shida Teva Migdal. And the Shida Teva Migdal, as I explained, were so large that they are not Mekabel Tumah. So neither is this upside down bowl, this Ka'ora Shelo Kederech Kabbaloso, Mekabel Tumah. And so we have completed Mishnah Hay, and in the process we have concluded lesson number 83.